Turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Let's pray, and then we'll read God's Word. Father, we thank you that Satan and sin lose. We thank you that you keep your promises, and we thank you that the Apostle Paul tells us that all of the promises of God are yes in Jesus, that Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise that God ever made. So we thank you that we worship you through the promise keeper that you gave, that we think of you as the snake crusher, and we think of you as the promise keeper, and we think of you as our Lord and Savior, and we recognize that through your resurrection we are free. Father, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit today, to renew, to top off that filling, so that we would be continually filled by your Spirit, as the Apostle says, and that your Spirit would lead us into the truth of your Word, and that we would see in John chapter 1 how sin and Satan lost, that we can hear the Apostle John say, "Behold the salvation of God." Open our eyes and open our ears that we will see and hear your salvation, that we will recognize that we have been purchased in the blood of the Lamb through this salvation to belong to you forever. In times that are good, in times that are not so good, in our life and even in our death, we belong to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1. We'll read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. We have beheld his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known." This much that we read from God's Word. And you want to keep your Bibles open as we talk about the passage. There's also an outline for you in your bulletins. Excuse me. Today, personally, I feel blessed. Not only am I making a little headway with this cold, but November was an amazing step in my life. I told the council at our last council meeting that I had kind of settled down thinking that I was at the first day of the rest of my life. that this was about as good as I was going to get in my recovery. And by the grace of God, every week in November, this cold notwithstanding, every week in the month of November was a step up, where I had more energy, more vitality, more, I would say, even spiritual engagement. It just, every week was an improvement on the previous week. And maybe I'm finally getting the fruit of good blood profusion. Maybe those cells that have been starved for so long, as my doctor says, are starting to get nourished and be strengthened. I don't know. Maybe God is just being gracious at this particular time. And I am so blessed to have spent time living in the Gospel of John. And maybe that was it more than anything, frankly. Every gospel writer is such a genius and such a gifted writer. And maybe it's the fruit of inspiration that makes them so good, but the Spirit didn't dictate. He wasn't a little bird or a little person that sat on the writer's ear and said, "This is what you write." They were masters. But yet, these are ordinary people who were with Jesus, and they did things amazingly well. So when we think about the Gospel of John, I'm inviting you to take a devotional book and to read through the Gospel of John as a family. To spend some time this month just thinking about the Gospel of John. And yes, this isn't new. This, we saw it in 2002, if you're long of tooth and have been around here. And when I read this one, I think, oh my goodness, how clunky. And so I was excited to rewrite this. And then yesterday I read this and I thought, we need a new rewrite. And I guess that's how it is. You know, we're constantly working. And Dr. Barry Webb told me any time that you print anything, even if it's an announcement in the bulletin, that's what you think right now. And then later on you think more. Hopefully you've learned and you've grown. Well, that's where we're at, and that's what time constraints do as well. But I'm inviting you to read that. But really, I realized, after listening to Pastor James' sermon a couple of times, I realized that I'm blessed to be part of a congregation that is filled with the grace of God, just like the Church of Antioch that we heard about last Sunday. Like Pastor James mentioned, we have struggled. We're sinful people, are no different than anyone else. We hurt each other and we damage relationships. The truth is, we're sinful, broken people, and that's the way we're always going to be. We're always going to mess up and we're always going to hurt each other because we're sinful, broken people. How many marriages have not been through a spat? How many relationships of any kind have not been through some difficulty? And even if we would look critically, we would say, well, we're no different than anybody else. We're supposed to be the church. I'm supposed to belong to Jesus. But God isn't finished with us. And that makes it so much more amazing. The more we look like the church, and yet we step back and we look at the church and the congregation of New Hope, we see the grace of God. We see Him blessing coffee break. We see Him blessing the small groups. We see Him blessing GEMS. We see Him blessing cadets. We see Him blessing Bible club. We see Him blessing our Sunday school. We see Him manifesting His blessing through an amazing group of elders and deacons. They're awesome. They are awesome evidence of God's grace in our midst. And I could go on and on. But today we have a specific blessing of linking the coming of Jesus and the death of Jesus. And that keeps the message of Christ clear for us. It keeps us from minimizing Christ or getting all Google-eyed thinking about the baby Jesus. That baby grew, that baby lived, that baby died, that baby rose, that baby exalted, and that baby is ruling the kings of the earth today. That baby is God Himself who came to die for the sins of the world. And we say, When we think of the baby Jesus, behold the salvation of God. And that's what John is telling us, that we need to see, first of all, that God's Savior is God Himself. The triune God is present and He creates. In the same way that He created, it's no accident that John writes as an echo of Genesis 1:1. No accident at all. John is thinking that we should connect Genesis with the gospel that he's writing. In the beginning, says Genesis 1. In the beginning, says John 1. In the beginning, God created, says Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, says John. After inducing the Word, He created. God is there. The Word is God. The Word is with God. The Word was and is and always shall be God. So John wants us to make sure that we understand that this one is God Himself coming in fulfillment. And John continues to parallel Genesis. In Genesis, God was there. The Spirit of God is hovering over the chaos and the waters. And in John, the Word and God are together because they are one. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. And yet there is one God, three in person, one in essence. And God, the Son, creates. Yes, God created, but specifically God the Son creates. All things were made through Him, says John. Without Him was nothing made, verse 3 and verse 10. Paul says similarly, quote, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And in Him all things hold together," Colossians 1. And this God is life. This God is light. And you think of Genesis 1. Darkness, chaos, everything is just nothingness. And God creates light. Think of contemporary society. John describes the world of his day as a world of darkness. Darkness, spiritual darkness, we say? How about human darkness? Just darkness, because we are who we are. Broken, sinful people not yet perfected in Jesus Christ as we live out and work out our lives. We are perfected in the sense that His salvation is complete and we are forgiven every sin, past, present, and future in Christ right now. That just assures us that we have an ongoing, living relationship with God in Christ. But in this darkness, in this nothingness is light and is life. And each time the Word of God describes God the Son, the one who humbled Himself and took on human flesh, even humbled Himself to death on the cross, we think He is Creator. And that protects our theology now. We don't think about a separation between Jesus and the God who creates. This one that we think about as the baby born at Christmas is the Creator. So don't make the picture small. Jesus, God the Son, is not some demigod or some little God. He is fully God. He is Creator God. And He humbles Himself to take on human flesh. The Creator of the universe becomes part of creation. The one who put all of the laws in place, the laws that confound everyone of physics and all sciences, submits Himself to those very laws. And once in a while we get some breakthroughs. Little signs, John calls them. And we see Him defying a law, walking on water, feeding 5,000, risen from the dead. This Creator enters creation as the light of God, and He shines in the darkness. That humbles me. Because sometimes I think Remember the book? Sometimes I think Satan and sin are still winning because we don't see the light of Jesus. We don't see the wonder of Jesus. John says, he's there, he is shining, he's bringing his light, he's carrying out his purpose. And it's no different in John's day than our day. Although he is creator, he is not known. Although he is the light in the darkness, he is not seen. He comes to his own people, and they do not receive him. But somehow, God's Savior is miraculously seen and known. And that's the second point that we see in this text. That God sends a witness so that he would be known, and his name is John. Not John the gospel writer, John the witness. We call him John the Baptist, but really John the witness is the best term for him. He came to bear witness about the light. So he came in the darkness to say, the light is here. There's a light shining. And he's a witness to that light. The people who are blind are to see light shining in darkness. And they're made to see through the word of the witness. The spoken word of God enables the blind to see the light. And again, the Apostle Paul follows right along the same theme. And he says, faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of Christ proclaimed. That proclamation is the preaching of Christ. Proclamation is the speaking of Christ. Proclamation is the testimony and the witness of lives of Christ. In other words, you and I continue to make Christ known in the darkness of our day. We continue to make Christ visible to people who cannot see Christ. Now, our problem is that we want to see it right now. We want to talk to our neighbor and say, dark to light. God doesn't work that way. He didn't work that way with you. Why do you expect him to work that way with everybody else? How many markers are in our personal lives where we look back and see, oh, that person was witnessing, and it was effective because I was moving. I was being reoriented. And then this person, and I was oriented again. And next thing you know, I'm staring at the light. Right? And so God uses all of these things in our lives to bring this about as he's continuing his witness. And God still uses the lives and speeches of his people as miracles of salvation. Just like he was doing through John the Witness. Every time we look like Christ, accidentally or intentionally, we manifest the light of Christ. We peel a layer off the cataract of sin and stubbornness and selfishness. And a little bit of light penetrates. And then God brings someone else, or he brings us back, and we peel another layer of that cataract off. And a little more light penetrates. And we say, why don't people get it? Well, they don't get it because they can't see it. They're blinded. Their cataract of sin is too severe. And so God is just mercifully removing those layers. And of course, we want an instant lens transplant. Sometimes he does exactly that. But usually he doesn't. But God's cure for blindness is his commissioned witness. So in this day, it was John the witness bringing it about. And then it was the 70 witnesses sent out. And then it was the preaching of Peter and of Stephen and of Philip and the mission of Paul. And through that whole, I mean, that's a concentrated time. So from 65 AD, plus or minus, until today, how does God bring light? The witness of the church carries on the lives of the witness. And one commentary I read said, when we see John the witness, just the fact that he is called to witness and all of the references to witness and testimony in the New Testament, we should say, there I am. We always want to know how we fit the story. This writer says, when we read this part of John, we should say, oh, there I am. I'm called to witness to just like John. A little bit allegorical, but yes, isn't that who we are? And God comes, point B. God comes, God lives, God moves, God displays His presence, God manifests His light, yet no one sees. God is hidden in plain sight. How often don't we pray for God to manifest Himself? And suppose God is manifesting Himself just like He was in Jesus. Hidden in plain sight. Because God hasn't connected all of the experiences and all the situations. But some do see Him. Verse 12, some receive Him. And I think John kind of explains how that works in the life of John the witness. And we need to look a little broaden our text. Look at chapter 1, verse 29. The next day he, John the witness, saw Jesus coming towards him. Okay, that's seeing. I recognize, okay, that's that form, that's Jesus walking. And then he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, how did John get to that point? Yes, he was called to that. That's what we've been talking about for those first couple of verses of chapter 1. And God raised him specifically for that, you know, through this point, got a miraculous birth and everything. But the gospel gives a clue. Look at verse 34. When we read verse 34, and I have seen, we just see that same word to see. I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God, as if he's saying, this is what I've done. But that isn't what the text is really saying. The vocabulary changes. The word changes. It's not the same word to see in verse 29 as it is in verse 34. And the verb changes. The verb tense changes, and sometimes that's really significant, and it is here. And so now John the witness says in verse 34, I have discovered, or I have come, if we add the verb tense to that, I have discovered by going through a doorway and I can't get back. I have come, I have discovered an entirely new reality that I can never unlearn. And on the basis of that life-changing discovery and this new reality, he says, and I've come through the doorway. I've come to the point of bearing witness of Him. And that kind of explains how the Gospels were saying, well, I'll send a message to Jesus. Are you the Christ? John wasn't exactly clear. But the Gospel writer John, he squishes all of that in chapter 1. He just pushes it all together so that we see the story. In a complete form. When he introduces thing, he introduces it really well. And so he's telling us that even John the witness went through some sort of process of understanding, some sort of process of discovery. And he was brought to a point of discernment, discovery, transformation. And on that basis, he's come to a new reality of bearing witness in a different way, if you will. Scholars think this is a clue for us. It shows us how we go from simple sight to the sight of no going back, because we pass through the doorway into a new reality. And isn't that the truth? That's our lives. That's what we do over and over again. And we get so frustrated with ourselves. We say we fall back. But usually there's some mark that really brings us all the way through the doorway. And there's no going back. And there's a call a call throughout all the New Testament for you and me to help the people around us come through the doorway to understand. And God uses the proclamation of our lives, and God uses the proclamation of His Word to bring people through that doorway. Point C, God becomes a flesh, and He tents, in quotation marks, for a while. The Word became flesh, and once again the scholars get picky. And if you translate verse 3 as were made, then we should translate verse 14 as was made, because it's the same word. And the scholars go on to say, all things were made through Him, and He made Himself human flesh. And that's what Paul says in Philippians 2, isn't it? The Son of God, or the Word of God here, is fully equal to God. He is with God the Father. He is with God the Spirit. Our Savior is fully God, and He humbles Himself to take on human flesh. And God's Savior is God's glory manifest. Verse 14. God's glory is seen. At least the gospel writer saw it. It took him a while, you know his story, to see it, but he's compacting everything. He has seen His glory, and His glory is unique. The Word of God became flesh, and He tented among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory that is the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's unique glory. It's the Son of God glory. It's the grace and truth glory. Then what do we mean when we talk about a sunset as, isn't that glorious? Isn't all glory God's glory? And maybe we are even calling things counterfeit glory if we're not connecting it with the God who created and provided and works all that out. And the glory seen in God the Son in creation is primary glory, and all other glory is secondary glory. God's glory is seen when God makes it known. No one sees God. The creation did not see Him. The creation did not know Him. Creation did not worship Him. They seem to expect Him. And they sure appreciated the free meals and the healing that He brought. And they expected more. Tried to make Him king because of it. And the Bible presents the story, Gospel of Mark. Blind Bartimaeus sees Jesus more clearly than the people with eyes. Because God reveals God. Our Savior comes of His own accord, motivated by His love and His desire to save. Our Savior is a willing Savior, a loving Savior, a gracious Savior. And that's really important when we think about the Lord's Supper. We hear Paul in Philippians 2, God the Son, though equal to God, humbled Himself to death on a cross. Jesus is Lord God Almighty. Jesus is fully man. Jesus loves you and me so much that He gives His life to save us. Jesus loves you and me so much that He becomes a curse to save us. God loves us so much that He came to bear His own just and holy wrath on sin. That He came to forgive us for all of our mistakes and to pay that penalty for every offense and to satisfy His anger. Behold the salvation of our God. Do you see Him? Do you know Him? He gave His all. And He says, follow Me. He gave His all, and He says, do this until I come. So we follow with deep expectation with the certainty that if God came to save and He promises He's coming back, that God is coming back to establish His rule, to bless His church, to fulfill His creation. And He says, follow Me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for a quick glimpse into the Gospel of John and into the wonder of salvation. Even though You teach us to pray, Our Father who is in heaven, we recognize that we pray to Lord God Almighty. We recognize that God the Son is fully equal to You, Father, and to the Spirit, and that He gave Himself so that His body would be broken, His blood would be shed, and we would be reconciled. Renew us by Your Spirit to affirm for us that our salvation is real and is secure, and that You have reconciled Yourself to us, and that You will use us to make the light of Christ known. So make our work easy. Cause Your Holy Spirit to go before us and to come behind us. Transform lives in the little sparks of Christian witness and in the conversations of Christian love. Draw our world to the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ in relationship with You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.